Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, here we go. Back from a two-week absence. Pete, you're all by...
I've been here. What are you talking about?
You have been? That's not what I've heard.
Brian Sexton along with Pete Prisco and Tony Baselli for 2 hours of... And boy, do we have a jam-packed show tonight. We have so much to talk about. It isn't even funny. We got the ratings today, folks, and they're off the charts. Number one show in Jacksonville. Men, adults, and Tony was just bellowing. He felt so good about what he'd been able to do, and then Pete came in and did the exact same thing. See, that's where the magic of the show comes
in. Yeah, but I had to remind you guys that you weren't here for two of those weeks.
Well, they said that the ratings were really strong the first 2 weeks of October, and they took a dip.
No.
They dipped.
They went up.
No, they would have been like...
they went way up.
They would have been record.
Look,
seriously, they would have been record, and then they said, well Pete
let me
by himself is not
you
that
were,
good.
You guys were here for all of September.
By the way, this is proof I can get you guys to fight about anything.
You guys were here all of September. And you weren't here all of October, and the ratings were better in October. What's that telling you, Tony?
No, I was here in October, first of all.
You weren't here for 2 weeks.
But my point was, the September climb, it was peaking, and what they're concerned about, I mean, we had a call, you weren't on it, like usual. And the concern is that November, these couple first shows are going to really dip because they were not too pleased with what you gave them.
No, they were great. The numbers were fantastic. I hope you don't drag us down, Baselli.
All right, so back to the point. Here are three.
What is the point of the show?
Here are the three issues, the three big stories, the big three, if you will, that we're dealing with tonight. The first is obviously Justin Blackmon. The second is
the state
of the Jaguars. Gus Bradley talked about where his team was at the midway point. And finally, what a busy, crazy couple of days in the National Football League. What with going on in Miami, in Denver. In Denver, in Houston.
We're not allowed to joke, I guess, about that, though.
And then, of course, Jack Del Rio is back in charge of an NFL team in Denver. So we've got a lot to talk about. But let's start with Justin Blackmon. Obviously, the news came down last Friday afternoon. You know, the head coach was asked today, did he feel fooled by Justin Blackmon over the last couple of weeks?
Let me say this. We have had really good conversations. Really good conversations. So... I'm not sure if I can answer that at all or not, but I'll just say we had really good conversations, and as far as the fooling part, that never entered my mind.
And as you can imagine, the questions, it was just almost his entire news conference today was about Blackmon and where this was at. So after he was asked about being fooled by him, he was asked, were you worried about where he was at? Was it day to day? Is he going to be here? Is he not going to be here?
You know, I've told you before that the three most dangerous words are, I got it. I think it was the same with this. I never thought that, okay, now we're in great shape. You know, I just thought it was more of a work in progress and keep helping them go in the right direction.
And finally, as you can imagine, the question came up, so what is his future like? He's out the rest of this year. If he does well in a rehabilitation program, he could apply for reinstatement next June. So what's the plan long-term for Blackmon?
I told you in the beginning I trusted him, you know, from the start. And we've had good conversations through that. I think in my conversations with Justin through this time, we got to know each other better and better. And I think for me right now, the best thing for us and our organization is we're focusing on our team and the tasks that we have in front of us. Now, on the side, I'm not going to lie to you, I do want to make sure that he's going in the right direction. I know the NFL set the policy, and we follow it, and I want to make sure he has a clear vision of what that is.
All right, so Justin Blackmon gone for the rest of the year. And the question for you guys, besides just him, you know, the offense over the last couple of weeks that he was around, the four games he was here, the numbers were much better. Overall yardage, passing yards, first down, everything was better with Justin Blackmon. Where does the offense go without him now? So your thoughts on number 14.
Oh, well, listen, I don't want to talk about where the offense goes first because – I mean, I think it's obvious. It's not as good. He's the best player. I mean, he was the best player on the offense.
Can it go any lower?
He was the guy.
They're last.
But here's the thing is you were 0-4 without him, and you're 0-4 with him. So it's not like it was I mean, the numbers were better, and there was better production, but it was still not very good. Has not been good in the red zone.
And look, and I don't mean that to be the whole story. But start with Justin Blackman.
That's my point. That's not even the story to me. The story is here's your top five pick of last year's draft, or two drafts ago. You pile that up with the lack of first rounders that are still on this roster, and he adds that on top of it. You have a guy that has an issue. I mean, the guy's – listen, I like Justin. I sat on this air and said, I guarantee you he's not going to have any more issues. I mean, what an idiot. I mean, I was wrong. I mean, 4 weeks later, he's out of the league indefinitely. I like him. I like what he added to this team. I like him as a player. I like – I think he handled himself as a professional. I know everyone's cringing listening because, wait, he handled himself as a professional. He's out of the league. How he prepared himself to come back to play the game. The guy is sick. He has an illness. He has some addiction. Well, I don't know if it's to alcohol or drugs or both. That's confidential information. We will never probably really know what it was. But he has an issue. He needs to go get help. That is the first and foremost thing that he needs to do because he can't live the – forget playing football. He can't live this life properly if he does not get that issue taken care of.
Justin Blackman, say hello to Jimmy Smith. And I'm not saying that to demean Jimmy Smith. I cover Jimmy Smith. You play with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith fooled a lot of people. He fooled the head coach of the Jaguars because Tom, to this day, will tell you that is one of the most disappointing things he's ever went through. But if you look at what Jimmy Smith could have been and what he is and where he is now, Justin Blackman should go spend some time with Jimmy Smith, then go to rehab, get himself cleaned up, and realize there is so much more than what's going on in his life right now. You can't throw it all away for that. Look, play 10, 15 years. If afterwards you want to go out and have some drinks and have a good time, that's fine. But this
I disagree with you there, Pete. He obviously can't have a couple. There's people who can go have a couple drinks and control it, and it's not an issue. There's certain people in this world
We don't know what his issue is.
Well, listen.
I mean, you hear stories about him running around with the drinking and everything else, and whatever people in town say it all the time. He was out at the bar, and he's a hard-out nightlife drinker. Whether he sits at home and is an alcoholic, who knows? We don't know that. There's difference. You have people who function in life. They're alcoholics. They drink. They go to work. They drink. They go to work. But they're a social alcoholics, guys who out and go drink 20 drinks, shots, I'm life of the party. There's that. You heard those stories. When I was on the radio, I heard them all the time. So we don't know what it is. Whatever it is.
It's a problem.
Get it fixed because Jimmy Smith is Exhibit A. The guy could be in the damn Hall of Fame if he hadn't had his career cut short, if he didn't play his entire career fooling everybody in this league, in this organization, and even his own team.
I'll tell you the other guy. And the question I've gotten, and it's been on Twitter, and people ask me, and I've read some people, and I think it's stupid. I think it's a stupid that they should cut him. Well, first of all, why are you cutting him? He's a young player. Yes, he has. He needs to get help, and he needs to fix it. And I don't think you can build your franchise around him because it's too much of a risk. You don't cut him.
Does he play here again?
I would.
If he gets clean,
if I was the
he goes to rehab, gets
yes. If I was the GM, I would let him. I would have him play. Because here's the deal. Let me give you another exhibit. He talks about Jimmy Smith. He should go talk to Chris Carter. Chris Carter had major addictive, I don't know if it was drug or alcohol
or cocaine,
and ran him out of Philadelphia. Cost him his career in Philadelphia. Minnesota signs him, and the guy's in the Hall of Fame now. He figured it out. And so, listen, just because a guy has these issues does not mean he can fix it. Jared Allen had two DUIs, two suspensions, and was one strike away from being suspended for an entire year, signed a huge deal with Minnesota, and has been, as far as we know, a model citizen. You can get help. You can figure it out. You don't cut the kid. You don't give up on the kid. You can be frustrated with the kid. You can't trust the kid. You can't build around the kid. But she's there. I agree with Gus. You support him. You help him. And you try to get him healthy because he's a heck of a football player and he can help this organization.
Well, he hasn't hurt anybody but himself yet. I mean, you could talk about his teammates and the offense, but forget about that. It's not like he's killed anybody or injured anybody. At this point, he's only hurt himself.
And everything you hear about him,
he's well liked.
He's a good guy.
He's a good kid.
He is
well liked.
And this year, he's worked at it. You can tell by his body. He put the work in. Whatever he's doing, he's changed some of the things he's doing because he's in better shape and he's a better football player. So, yeah, work with the kid. Try and help him. And you know, look, this is a situation where it can go right or it can go left. And if you're the Jaguars, you do whatever you can to help him and hope it goes right. If it goes left again, he's
well,
done.
Well, then he's done. Then he cuts himself.
Right.
But you don't have to cut. I've read that. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've heard. But why would you cut him right now?
Because most people.
Why?
Most people.
Give me one good reason.
Most people don't understand addiction. And Justin had never been to a rehab facility. He had never checked in somewhere to get the kind of help
because
he needs.
Was fooling himself.
Right. A serious
like
addiction.
Like all addicts. Right. Every addict does it.
Exactly. A serious addiction requires serious help. You can't do it on your own,
he thought he could. He didn't go to facility
no.
the last
no.
time? I thought he did for 28 days or something. No, he never
I don't
went.
Believe so.
I don't believe so either.
Well, he better go to the facility this time because he needs to get the professional help, not I'm fixing myself.
You can't do
help.
It
you can't
on your own.
You can't fix yourself if you're an addict.
But then there are, like you said, there are guys when you're 22, 23, 20, 21, you do things and you grow up and you change.
Yeah, but those aren't addicts. Those aren't alcoholics.
We don't know if he's an addict or he's a party addict.
Pete, listen, you're right, and it's not fair to me. All the evidence points to the guy had some issues in college. He gets drafted. Blows three times the legal limit. Comes back, says he's not going to do it anymore. Obviously, he does. He then gets he's in the program, gets suspended 4 games. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to clean it up. Whatever whatever happened this last time, now he's suspended indefinitely. There is a problem. I think it's unfair to Justin if we just say, well, he's just a guy who needs to mature. No, he's a guy who needs to go get help because he is. I like Justin a lot. I wouldn't give up on him. I think, listen. Gus has done everything he can to support this guy, the organization has, and they should continue to do it. Not just because, well, I'm not going to be a liar. Part of it because he's a good player.
Right.
But part of it because you want the best for the young man, too, because he's part of your organization.
And that's what Dave Caldwell said almost immediately on Friday. We'll see where this one turns. Justin Blackmon gone for the rest of this year. If he is able to correct it, he can apply for reinstatement next June. We're due for a break. Let's take it now. When we come back, we'll talk about the implications for the football team with Justin Blackmon's absence. We'll give you a state of the Jaguars, and we'll talk about a crazy time in the NFL over the last few days. You are listening to Jaguars Monday here on News Talk WOKB, and you can join Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley November 16th at Everbank Field for the 4th Annual McKenzie's Run, a 5K run and walk, plus a 1-mile fun run to benefit programs that help youth recognize their full potential. Register your team at McKenzie'sRun.org. And we're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, no injury report tonight, but when we do have one for you later in the week, it'll be presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Brian Sexton here with Tony Buscelli and Pete Prisco. You can join us, 355-NFL. One of our big three stories, Justin Blackmon obviously gone. What does it mean for him and for the Jaguars? And overall state of the Jaguars coming up. And also, we'll talk about a busy, insane couple of days in the National Football League with stories all over the place, not the least of which, the drama taking place down in Miami. Let's go to the phone lines to the south side of Jacksonville. Bill is standing by. Bill, you're on with Tony and Pete.
Yeah, how are you guys doing? Tony, listen, I really wanted to tell you that I agree with you on this Blackmon issue. I think it's totally, cruel and unusual punishment to take away his livelihood, throw him out of football, a game he loves. It's too much. I mean, you don't throw away a talent like that. You help him along, like you said. I totally agree with that. I think it's just too much to do this to somebody, you know. I hate to think if in my younger days, if I had to whiz in a bottle and get checked, I'd have been fired a dozen times from jobs. But you know,
gotta give him an A for honesty, right?
Well, Bill, and here's
You're honest.
And I'll be practical, Bill, with you as well. Here's the thing: if you gave up on him and if you cut him, guess what's going to happen? Somebody else will sign him. He's talented. Listen, whether you like it or not. When you're really talented in this world, you get a lot of chances. It's just the way it works. I'm not saying it's right, wrong. It's reality. And Justin Blackmon is really good. And on top of that, I think he's a good guy who has a sickness and an illness that needs some help. And if he's willing to do what it takes to get the help, then you should stand by him.
You know, this could really throw him off his game entirely. It could ruin his whole career. And then people are out there going, well, it's his own fault. No, it's not. That is really too much to, to somebody. I mean, please. But anyway, listen, Tony, that doesn't mean I've changed my opinion of you.
I appreciate that, Bill.
All right, take it easy.
Well, and here's it. Now, the one thing I'll disagree with a little with Bill, it is his responsibility.
Right. It's his fault.
It is his fault.
Yeah.
Listen, he made the choice. And I'm not saying and it was a sickness. He doesn't have a choice. No, you have to take personal responsibility. And part of being healthy is saying, listen, I got to own this.
But there are degrees of the sickness, okay?
Well,
for example, no, and I'm going to say this because, for example, if a guy has a drinking problem, and like you said, he's not a problem to anybody else but himself. He shouldn't be doing it. He's obviously got a problem. He's got to get it clean, get it fixed. He can't function and can't. He's in the program, so obviously there was more problems and troubles resulting of that. It's one thing. If you got a guy who's, you know, staying up till 5 o'clock in the morning snorting coke and then comes to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and can't function and does that on a regular basis and he's an irritable guy and he's not very liked, then you're talking about degrees.
The only thing I'll disagree with you a little bit, Pete, there is, listen, he's fortunate, and so is everyone else, that when he was driving three times the legal limit, he didn't hurt himself or somebody else.
True.
And so it is an issue.
True.
And it is dangerous.
Oh, and I'm not saying it isn't. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there are people inside an organization sometimes. For example, Andre Rison or RJ Sauer, take your pick. Both of them were disruptive to what was going on in the building. They had problems. They had addiction problems as well. And they were disruptive to what was going on. So Andre was sent packing and RJ was sent packing. They weren't good for what was going on. I don't think that's the case with Justin.
Different case. Right. Different scenario.
See, that's
100%.
All I'm saying.
I agree with that.
There's different levels of it. And so if he gets his help, he comes back, he's a functioning part of the team. I don't know if RJ or Andre would have ever been functioning parts of the team.
Well, I mean, Andre left here and he went to Green Bay and Kansas City and Oakland, and he was a disaster.
Yeah. Well, he went to Green Bay and won a Super Bowl ring.
Well, he was part of that Super Bowl team.
Got a touchdown pass.
And he played pretty good for Kansas
City,
too, but he's still.
What is it with that position?
The receiving group?
Yeah.
Keenan did all right.
Keenan, but I mean, think about the history of that position. Okay, you ready?
I read your tweet on
Andre,
this.
RJ, Reggie, Matt Jones, Jimmy, and now Blackman. I mean, there's a case study there.
You can look league-wide. You can look at the Chris Carters of the world. And
case study. What are you going to do?
Well, somebody tried to ask me the other day. I was on, I think it was Doug Gottlieb's show. He said, is there something to do with living in Jacksonville? Are they bored or something? I said, no, I've lived there for 30. No, that's not it. It's no worse here than anywhere else. Probably better here, right?
Well, I mean, are only the receivers bored?
Well, they're divas, remember? Divas get bored easily.
All right, let's talk about Justin Blackman and the Jags offense. Obviously, he was a key catalyst to getting it started. The 14 catches in Denver, the 67-yard touchdown in St. Louis. 8 games left to play. The schedule gets more favorable, and if you want to look at the record of the opponents, what are their chances now to have an offense that's functioning without Justin Blackman on the field?
Well, the good news is, if there is any good news, is Mike Brown's playing better. And they did not have that before. You know, remember, he was hurt as well.
Right.
So you do have Mike Brown that is, listen, is he Justin Blackman? No, but he is a solid guy, a guy that you'd like to be your third or fourth receiver, but now he's going to be your second. It's not ideal, but it's a much better situation, I think, than the first four games where Cecil, a rookie, A. Sanders, trying to figure it out. We're probably not ready for that position yet. I think he can be a productive receiver in the league as he gets older and matures. And so Mike Brown helps that situation a little bit. But listen, it's going to hurt this team. I mean, and it's a team that's already struggling. I mean, it's not like, you know, everyone says, you know, the last 8 games is more favorable because the schedule got easier. Yes, it is. No doubt about it. I think only one team has a winning record
at
this point, the Colts. But, I mean, the reality is this, though, guys. Every team they play is looking at Jacksonville saying, oh, there's a win.
The other thing is –
that's not the position you want to be in.
No, but
– And that's why – and I'll make one last thing, Pete, and then go ahead. Is that's why Gus is correct when he says, we can't worry about anybody else. We got to worry about ourselves, and it's about what we do, not what other people do.
All right. This is going to sound crazy, but for the long-term success, and you know me, I don't think about the next 8 games.
No, because you don't care about winning.
It doesn't matter. You got to build this thing for something special down the road.
You're
Tony.
All about money and yourself.
Thank you.
We've established
yes,
that.
Yes, we have.
You only knew how many times he brought up, if it's good for me, it's good for me on the airplane
Not
ride
for
over.
Me. I'm sacrificial. We've proven it.
He kept offering me his chair.
Did he?
Yeah.
I did.
He didn't fit in it anyway.
I'm sacrificial.
But if you fit in it, you weren't offering.
No, I offered him because his movies were broken. Mine worked. I said, Brian, would you like to watch my movies?
He was, but he knew I wasn't going to say yes because the movies were crap.
Okay.
He was, what did you watch? After Earth. What else?
42 is a good movie.
Yeah, all right. 42
Man
is
of Steel is a good movie.
Yeah, it's okay. But let's put it this way. Anyway, he was so looking
you were
for
doing, looking for Steel Magnolias or something like that?
No, I'm looking for something
like
that has
what?
A plot line to
like
it.
What?
Like Goodfellas, back in the day, great movie.
Oh, okay, yeah, but Man of Steel is a good movie.
What is Man of Steel? That's Superman?
Yeah, that's what he's been called.
I have not seen one of those. I've not seen a Batman. Haven't seen a Star Wars. None of that garbage.
What's your own fault? What do you? No. I mean, sorry. I mean,
I don't watch movies. I watch.
Well,
tapes.
Obvious. That's
all right. We got a lot.
Hey, by
I
the way, but anyways,
half time you don't even know what you're watching.
Yes, I do. Here's the thing, Tony, and I say this all the time. It's not about this year. So Mike Brown's going to get a start, right? He's going to be a starter. So that's good for the future. Because if Justin Blackman comes back, Mike Brown's going to get that much more playing experience. Ace Sanders is going to get that much
more. In the big picture, you're absolutely right. What's most important in this study is what – or in this study – in this scenario is what Justin does for himself.
Yes.
For the football team, when you're looking at, you know, where it is and where it's headed, probably inconsequential.
They added the Sun Devil today.
And does
that's
that help
a problem.
Them? There you
Terry
go.
Terry Taylor.
Hey, tonight at
you
7.
Seen USC lately, buddy?
CBS 47, Jeff Loggeman, Brent Martineau, Jaguars All Access coming up at 7 o'clock this evening. Denard Robinson, the special guest. We'll take this break for news from our friends over at Newstalk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. 3 months. Our broadcast this evening is brought to you by PRI Productions. This is Jaguars Monday, live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Tony Buscelli is here. CBS Sportsline's Pete Prisco is here. What am I supposed to call it now?
Sports.com.
You know, I still type in CBSSportsline.com and it comes up. All right, Pete Prisco's here. You don't need to know where he works. You know who he is. 355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. State of the Jaguars today. The question was asked about Gus. Where are you at the midway point? He talked about their red zone, third down, turnovers, so many different things. But this was the interesting comment that he talked about the most when asked about where he was going with his football team after the bye.
How can you get better unless you talk about your weaknesses? And if you can say your weaknesses out loud or tell people what your weaknesses are, then you can go attack them and get better. Not everybody's like that in the NFL. They're not willing to share weaknesses. They'll talk about their strengths all day long. But the guys that will talk about their weaknesses, those are they have a chance to be special. We've got to get our team to understand it's okay to share your weaknesses. It's okay to admit your weaknesses because now we can make some ground. Now we can go attack those things and get them better. Those are things we're teaching our team.
You know, you can hear the random guy who's driving down Butler Boulevard in his car right now laughing out loud, going, well, it'll be easy with the Jaguars. We know what their weaknesses are. They're all over the place. But in reality, what Gus is talking about here is a little different line of thought than you hear from most folks in the NFL.
I'll say this. I'd never tell anyone my weaknesses.
And that's what his point was.
Ever.
That's what his point was.
But mine's different. I have a different reason. I don't want anyone to know what bothers me. Because if it gets out, I don't want that guy doing it.
But his point was...
Oh, I get it. I was fully aware of my weaknesses.
Right,
and I worked on them and knew what I needed to do, but I was not telling a soul.
Well, now
Dr. Z said your weakness was run blocking.
Well, that was... Dr. Z was wrong.
In his defense, he wasn't talking about everybody standing in front of the media and going, hey, Pete Prisco, here are my weaknesses this week.
No, I would,
what he was talking about is in the team meeting, getting guys to stand up and admit it.
No.
He wouldn't even do it there.
No. Because guess what? That guy might be on another team next year. Might tell the defensive end I'm playing. He doesn't like this. No, I'm not telling. Nope. If the head coach and I want to have a – I wouldn't even tell the head coach because he might get fired and go somewhere else, and I'm playing against him.
All right, well, let's
– So you better find like a priest or a pastor or someone else like that or a psychologist that can't die aloud. I'm not telling them.
What was it?
I'm
you don't play anymore.
I don't care. I don't want anyone to – I know what they
You're
are.
You're not playing anymore. It's
doesn't
over number.
Matter. I might get some drug or something that makes me able to play again.
Would somebody call Angie real quick? Let's get her take on what
you're
doing.
Exactly. No, but in all seriousness, I as a player, trust me. Now, I agree with what he's saying conceptually, 100%. I think all great players know – what they need to work on and how they need to get better, and they rep it and they work on it and they understand what they can do very well, what they don't, they do okay, and what they struggle with. And they work on their game to make sure those aren't issues. I get that. 100% agree with Gus. I just, as a player, I'm not telling anybody.
Before we deal with some of the Jaguars' weaknesses, I do know what your weakness is now.
What's that?
Chocolate chip cookies at 38,000 feet.
There's no doubt about that. Food's my weakness.
How many will you eat?
How many will I eat?
Yeah. If there's a plate full of cookies, how many
If there's a plate full of cookies with a cold glass of milk, not one of them safe.
And there was on the plane ride over.
Not so one of them safe.
You would eat 10 cookies.
Oh, without a doubt.
Really?
Yes.
Damn.
And I'd eat a whole...
Is chocolate chip, of all the things that you could eat, that's your weakness?
No, ice cream.
Really?
Chocolate chips, raisin cookies.
What's yours?
I can go down a pie. Oh, I love
it. Yours?
Or cobbler.
What is yours?
Bread pudding, cake. I mean, any of
those. Why do I have to talk? I'm done with you.
Pizza. What's
your,
yeah, pizza. Me just put pizza down
me
and I'll
too.
Eat it.
Oh,
all day
me
long.
Too. A
me
new,
too.
Oh, a slice of... A whole pie? Oh, it's over.
Whole pie? What's the matter with you?
I like food.
You're big, too. So
I like food.
Well, let's put it this way. He said to me on the flight over, I've told this story 3 times, and we laugh every time. He looked at me and said, Sexton, I'm going to lose 7 pounds in 7 days. And then he changed it. He changed it. He said, starting tomorrow, once we land.
Because I ate like 15 cookies.
Once
so
we
there,
land.
So there's my declaration right there I made. On
you're going to be 280 by March?
March 1st.
Really?
Yeah, 280.
So that's what you got down to that one time.
No,
right?
I was even lower. I was like 270.
So you want to be 280 by March?
280 by
Have
March.
You started already?
Yeah.
See, it's hard during the season.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's hard all the time.
January, but no, it's harder during the season.
It's always hard.
You can get down to 280.
No, but back to the topic.
All right, the topic is the Jaguars.
But am I wrong about that?
No.
Peter, am I wrong?
No, I wouldn't tell
would
him.
Would you tell? I mean, listen.
Hell no.
Because guess what? In all seriousness, so I sit in the team meeting, I get up, and this is my weakness. And Andre Branch goes to another team. And he says, oh, I know what he struggles with. I know what he doesn't like. Well, I don't want anyone to know that.
But if you watch enough, you should know.
No.
Good players against you didn't know what your weakness was?
No.
They never knew?
Nope.
What was it?
I'm not telling.
Why? You're not playing again.
All right. It doesn't matter.
So
I'm not telling you anyone.
Let's
never
deal.
I will go to my grave with it. I'm not telling anybody.
Okay.
I'll go watch some tape and tell you.
Let's deal with a couple of the Jaguars' biggest weaknesses, right? Third down percentage, they don't keep drives alive. Red zone, they struggle mightily. I think they've got 5 red zone touchdowns in 22 trips this year. Turnovers have been a major problem, including scoring opportunities, right? Throwing it up and letting someone run it back, as we found out when Mercedes fumbled the ball and Scuda took it 50 yards for the touchdown. So those are 3 really big ones. Any others that you want to address?
Execution. I mean, they don't execute anything.
Did you say stopping the run?
I didn't get quite that far.
Tackling?
Tackling was one that he brought up today.
Stopping the run.
Stopping the run.
See, I think tackling, to me, and they've been a bad tackling team.
The whole league's a bad tackling.
The whole league is bad at tackling, but they're especially bad. And part of that is young players recognizing and taking angles. When you're young safeties and you're thinking instead of reacting, you take poor angles, and that leads to poor tackling. That's part of their problem. But you're right. Tackling around the National Football League is horrible.
You don't practice anymore.
You know, and you can't. Your targets are smaller too.
Yeah, the rules are terrible. I don't like the rules in the NFL when it comes to tackling, as far as hitting a receiver. But that doesn't excuse. There's no rules against tackling a running back. But you don't practice it.
And
coaches'
and
hands are tied. It'd be so hard to be a coach. Your hands are tied. You can't do 2 days. You're limited on how long you can be out there. You're limited on how much you can work with a guy in the offseason. Then you only have is it 14 or 11 padded practices?
14
padded practices. And after a certain day, you can't even use those. What do you expect? This is the new
NFL. You guys didn't tackle either.
Pete.
You didn't put them on the ground.
We did 9-on-7.
But you didn't do tackle.
It doesn't matter. You're butting up. You have to
tackle.
I know, but you have to go up and wrap up and butt the guys up.
Yeah, but
you can't even do that anymore. You're in underwear out there.
Part of the reason is the highlight mentality. I'm going to get the big
hit. That's part of it, but you don't work on it.
Nobody gets put on SportsCenter for wrapping a guy and tackling him. They get put on for the big hit. You guys didn't tackle either.
Pete, but when you're in
you
full
like
pads.
Like that guy that walked to school 17 miles to get to school.
Pete, we're in full pads twice a week.
But you didn't tackle, yes
but you're
or no?
used to working in pads.
Right.
You're worse than going against each other.
You
I mean, come
tackle.
On. Are
you didn't tackle.
Are you that dumb?
No, you didn't tackle. Nobody tackled.
You're dumb.
No, I'm not.
You're full. I mean, and so.
It was
but
good
it's
for you
the,
guys, but nobody
decided
there.
It's the new NFL. That's what it is.
And yet more people are getting hurt.
Because I think you get hurt more when you don't hit in practice.
I think part of the problem is it's year-round, too.
No.
Year-round. Bodies don't get any rest.
Does any of this count for a CopyFax face-off? It should.
Well, he's wrong again. He didn't tackle either. back when he walked 17 miles to practice.
I tackled.
I remember one.
It was a good tackle.
On Artrell Hawkins.
Don't admit that.
Yeah,
that
you thank
were
you.
On the sideline, 98. You remember that? Yeah. Artrell picked up the fumble and was taking it back.
I chased
and
him down.
Chased
I was
him
like
down.
Some of those defensive ends that used to rush against him thought he tackled a lot, too.
No, that's called blocking.
That's called holding.
No, it's only holding if they
this
throw a flag.
This is definitely our copy.
It's only holding if they throw a flag, but you know better than that. You know how the rules work.
All right. Bueller Switch.
I've never
watch company is the official watch of the Jaguars, except those cookies on the airplane. You were holding those tight.
Oh,
Bueller Switch watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville. Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. When we return, we dive into some of the big issues going around the National Football League today, starting with Richie Incognito, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Well, go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Brian Sexton sitting here with Tony Buscelli and Pete Prisco. You can join us, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351.
No food. Somebody eat.
It doesn't take him long to find it now, does it?
What do you mean? I'm on my diet.
That's not dinner either.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You say that every week. This is dinner.
I'm going to eat dinner with the family.
This is dinner. I don't eat my family. I'm tired of my family.
Did you win Friday night?
No, we got waxed.
Did you?
Waxed. I mean, just beat down.
He's really hitting low tonight, right? He goes to
I didn't know.
Weight and the food and now the game.
We lost, and I'm gonna be a team player because I'd like to say some things, but I'm not going to.
Are you in the playoffs at least?
Yeah,
you are. Okay,
we're in the playoffs.
Regroup.
We're in the tournament.
So
that's all you can ask.
That game didn't matter.
Yeah, because we would have home field the playoff game.
And now where do you got to go?
We got to go to Ocala Trinity.
All right,
you're in the tournament.
All right,
that's all that matters, baby. Get in the tournament.
As news worthy as. Big a story weekend-wise as we've seen around here in the NFL in a long time. Let me just read off a couple, and you start wherever you want. Obviously, Richie Incognito.
That's the biggest one.
Right. You've got Jack Del Rio back in charge. He's the interim head coach.
He's really in charge, though.
No, Peyton made him the Broncos. Assistant head coach.
You've got the Steelers giving up 55 points. Steelers giving up 55 points.
Told you they're no good, Pete.
You got a lot of drama right going with the Texans right now. And then quarterbacks. How about Case Keenum and Nick Foles? Over the last couple of days,
Matt Schaub's done.
Let's start with
told
the big
you about that one too, didn't
yeah,
I?
You're right.
Let's start with the big one, and that is what came up late last week. Jonathan Martin leaves the Dolphins. Richie Incognito has been suspended. Probably will not return to the Dolphins. There are texts, there are voicemails, supposedly racial statements, hateful statements, aggressive statements. Bullying in the locker room is about to become, you know, the new concussion. It's about to become the story that stays.
I can't handle this.
It's coming.
You know, when I first
can someone describe to me what bullying is first?
Because you were probably the bully.
I was not the bully.
You don't know. You were the bully.
Okay, you tell me.
I was probably the bully too.
Hey, genius! Tell me what the bully because you weren't in the locker room all the time, but you were there quite a bit.
I got bullied in that locker room. I just happened to stand up for myself.
Yeah, I bullied you. You're right.
You
and I have no problem saying
you never bullied
it.
Me. I can honestly say you didn't bully me, but there were guys in there that tried to bully me.
Remember, we want
to name names? Brian DeMarco, Gary Walker. Tried to bully me. I never got bullied why? Because I stood right there and held my ground because I didn't care. What are you going to do? Give me a beating? Give me a beating.
No,
that's what
true.
Jonathan Martin should stand his ground.
Well,
Richie Incognito's a bad guy.
Well, I'm not. Okay. I want to make sure I'm not sitting here. Richie Incognito crossed a lot of lines.
A lot.
A lot. But I don't want this all of a sudden. You know, you shouldn't make rookies pay for things, or you know, all trivial things that have been in the league forever, and nobody's ever had an issue. And guess what? I hate to tell you people, but there's fights in the locker room. Guys getting fights.
Right.
I mean, it happens. You got a bunch of alpha males. A bunch of guys who big egos, and there's fights. There's things that happen. Let me tell you, you better have thick skin in the locker room because people say things that if you don't are going to hurt your feelings. That's life in the locker room. And if all of a sudden the political correct police are going to come in and try to change the culture of the locker room, I don't see it happening. Now, what Richie Incognito did was not that. He went to a whole nother level. Racial slurs.
Threatening to kill him?
Threatening to kill him. Ridiculous, like
$15,000 for a veteran's trip to Vegas,
which he First of all, why didn't John Lombardi say, I'm not paying that?
That's extortion.
Yeah, that is extortion. But why didn't I don't understand. Just say no. And here's what I'm real disappointed about. Because, listen, we had some guys that might have tried to bully rookies and stuff. And I'll say this. If you're a rookie offensive lineman, you are going to supply sunflower seeds in the meeting every day. There better be sunflower seeds there. Otherwise, you're going before the kangaroo court. It better be there.
And what happens if you go before the kangaroo court?
Oh, you get made fun of and funny things.
Right, but you're not going to give him a beating or anything.
Oh yeah, what are we?
That's what I mean. That's what we
joke around and say there'd be a code red. Nothing would happen. But it was a joke.
Why doesn't Martin stand up to him?
You get shamed. You know what I mean?
Why didn't he stand up to him?
You're going
to
bring breakfast sandwiches in on Friday morning. You're going to make sure that when it's your turn for the offensive line, bring donuts. And at the end of the year, you're going to take the entire offensive line. Your rookie class is going to take us all out to dinner. And guess what, though? My problem is the leaders in that offensive line would not let it get out of control. Yes, we'd all get – guys would get steak and lobster. And maybe for all 10 guys, the bill would be $5,000 or something, maybe six at the high end. That was split amongst the rookies, the highest pick having to pay the most. But no one was ordering, you know, maybe they order one expensive bottle of wine. But if someone tried to go overboard, the leaders would say, no, we're not doing this. This is not going to get out of control. This is supposed to be a fun thing for us as an offensive line to do together, not to try to abuse the rookies.
Wait, you're talking about it when you were one of the – what about when you were the rookie?
You know what? I got lucky.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, having to sing and I remember I offered – to take the offensive line at the end of the year because it was an expansion, so there was no real organization.
Right.
I offered. I said, let's all go out. I'll pay. I mean, I'm the first pick. That's what.
No wonder why he knows nothing about bullying. He didn't get bullied. He was a rookie on a group that was a
Everyone got bullied in the locker room.
Right.
Things were said to me, and I was made fun of. And if you did – listen, we had a locker room that if you did anything wrong, you're going to get called out. And if you did something good, you were going to get made fun of maybe more. And that's just the way the locker room is. But here's the thing. A healthy locker room polices itself. And so I'm disappointed that no one policed Richie Incognito. How do you let a guy get away with this? How do you let that happen? And I say it all the time. The good offensive line and the good locker rooms, you know what they have? They have guys in there that understand when a guy is getting made fun of, that can't handle it.
Right, where
they
the line
stop
is.
It. They, see, say,
bet,
they say that's enough.
I would
and
bet
I can
you
give
many
you
amount
examples,
of money. Brian DeMarco
gonna,
was a bad one. I bet he was a bad one.
And guess
I
what?
Bet he was bad.
And guess what? We'd stop it.
Right, but he was bad. I guarantee
you.
He would be the guy at the table that would
and
order
we, and guess
everything.
What? And we say, no, we're not doing
right.
that.
But he would be, and he's a lot like Richie Incognito.
The thing that surprised me is that Joe Philbin seems like a straight-up guy, a straight arrow that you wouldn't have that kind of stuff in his locker room. He seems like he's all business.
Tom Coughlin was a straight-up business as there is.
Well, but you just
Look
heard how they do
locker
it.
Locker room, though.
It was crazy.
Come on.
There was more things going on. I mean,
yeah.
Listen, there's fights.
Yeah, but you said you stopped it. When it would get to the point, you stopped it.
I'll say this to the other side. It went pretty far. You better have thick skin. And if you showed weakness.
So what you're saying is the coaches can't police the locker room.
That's hard.
It's very hard.
It's hard.
Now, they can't. I mean, my guess is Joe Philbin had no idea Richie Incognito was doing this stuff. Here's the thing I don't get. But guys in the locker room.
They voted him to their six
player leadership
council.
I get that, but guys in the locker room or guys in the line
council.
Know what's going on.
But
and so there's some,
everybody's saying what a good guy he is.
That's why
I
say there's something not
and
adding
Chad
up.
Johnson, who's on with me every Sunday, he played with him for the brief time before he had his incident. And he said he's funny, he's likable, the guys liked him. So there's just got to be something there. Well, first off, Richie's not all there, okay? Richie's had problems.
He got thrown out of Nebraska.
Nebraska went to Oregon, got drafted. Teams took him off the board. He went to the Rams. The Rams, people who I know very well, said he was they had to pull him off the field one day. He was foaming at the mouth, going crazy.
He's crazy.
And then the Buffalo had him for a couple games. He played good. They got rid of him because he had problems. It's the
same
thing.
But here's the thing. Obviously, something's wrong, you know, going on in Richie's brain because he came out Sunday, like, attacking the reporter, saying, this is inaccurate. Truth will come out. Didn't he realize that there's text messages and voicemails out there with him saying these very things?
But also, I'll say this, and people say, well, Jonathan Martin's got a man up, he shouldn't do that. Look, if it gets to the point where it's bothering somebody to that degree, that's his right to speak up. He's not a whistleblower. He's not breaking the locker room code. He's speaking up because he's uncomfortable in his workplace.
The only thing I'm disappointed about, Pete and Brian, is that Jonathan Martin did not, that it had to get to this point. I would have hoped at some point as this was progressing, that Jonathan Martin could have gone to somebody on that offensive line or somebody on that team, say, come on. I mean, this has to stop.
The other leader on that offensive line is Mike Pouncey, who is now being indicted as part of the Aaron Hernandez thing, and he supposedly was involved with it too.
Maybe he was afraid. I mean, maybe he saw what happened.
Yeah. But here's the thing about it. Okay, Richie Incognito.
It's a terrible situation.
Richie Incognito's an idiot. He went overboard. His name is tainted. But they're treating him worse. Now his name is worse than Aaron Hernandez.
Right. I was just about to ask you if you think he plays in the NFL again. He's a 32-year-old guy, final year of his deal.
He's not that good anymore.
He's not good enough. If he was good, he would.
Yeah, but he's – I don't know. The racial thing.
That was bad.
All right, we are due for news here at the top of the hour, then another hour of Jaguars Monday with Pete Prisco and Tony Buscelli, live from the HennityAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. Back after this on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and AM 690.
Live from the HennityAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Buscelli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, welcome. Hour number two, Jaguars Monday, live from the HennityAutos.com studio inside Everbank Field. I'm Brian Sexton. Tony Buscelli is here. CBSSports.com. Did I get it right that time?
You got it right.
Pete Prisco is here.
Can I ask a question?
Joe Fortunato alongside. Can I set the big three and then you can ask a question?
I guess. I mean, we're getting high ratings, so do whatever you
all
do.
All right, so the big three, here we are. The big three stories we're covering for you. Number one, Justin Blackmon, gone for the rest of this year. You probably have known that since Friday. We've got reaction from Gus Bradley coming up. Also, the state of the Jags. We've been through that, where they're working. Weakness, go figure. And finally, and we've got a lot to cover in this topic, and that is a crazy couple of days in the National Football League. So before we go any further,
And I feel a little bit like a hypocrite, I'll be honest with you, because I don't like when someone, and I'm going to use this term in, with respect to, it's Jonathan Martin, right?
Yes.
Martin, the offensive lineman for the Dolphins, who left the Dolphins because of Richie Incognito.
And so I'm not, I don't like when the weak get preyed on. In anything culture. And obviously this is a guy who had whatever reason. And because, listen, in all the years, I never saw – I'm not saying that the ribbing and the – hey, whatever you want to call it, got out, bothered guys, some guys more than others. I get that. But obviously there was a weakness there. And I don't like when the weak are preyed upon. But I'll say this too. I don't like what I've heard, and this has become popular in media, because what the media does now, and all the experts – whenever there's a topic that's popular, it's so they want to pile on and talk about how bad, you know, individual is, or I can't believe this is happening, and how appalling it is that this happens at the workplace. I don't think the locker room's the workplace. This isn't IBM. This isn't, you know.
But it is the workplace.
But this isn't, no, Pete, but it, listen, those guys, I mean, I know it was my job. But going to the locker room and working out and hanging out, that wasn't the workplace. That was the locker room. That was a bunch of guys. You did things in the locker room. You said things in the locker room you would never say in public. And if I said the things that I was called, or the jokes that were told, or the things that were said in the locker room, it would make people's skin crawl. And in any other workplace in America, they would not be okay.
Yeah,
but guess what? In the locker room, it's just you police yourself. You kind of take care of it. And so I feel like a hypocrite because I'm bothered by the fact that the locker room didn't police itself. I don't like that he was being preyed upon. But this isn't the workplace. This is the locker room.
That's the same. I mean, we worked in down there the whole time. We weren't in the Times Union building. So we...
Yeah, but it wasn't your locker room with all due respect.
No,
I'm not being rude.
In the locker room. I'm talking about our workplace at the end.
Right.
Okay? That was our workplace. And what we said in there to each other, we couldn't have said in the workplace at the Times Union, so it's a different environment. I get that, but it doesn't give you the right to bully somebody. And by I don't mean bullying.
I don't get that. See, this whole bullying is like,
it sounds as if Richie Incognito was really after him, though. With the have you seen the messages? Have you read the text of the messages?
I'm trying. That's why I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite. I get it. What he said was over the line. But come on, we're all lying to each other if there weren't racial things said in that locker room.
No, I've heard
every locker room.
I've heard them.
From the time I was at USC.
All the way.
I mean, all the way.
School, we all heard school. Him.
I mean, it's just, listen, and things that were said there, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not excusing it. But I always viewed it, and maybe this is, I'm just a messed up athlete, and maybe, I don't know, got hit the head too many times or whatever.
Are you using an excuse now?
No, I think it's a funny excuse.
By the way, you are in the media. You are in the media now. So when you start talking about the media,
I don't like it. No, but I don't do that. I don't like these politically correct because bullying now. And I'm not saying it's okay. And I hate that people get bullied and you see young kids and it drives them to terrible things. I don't like that. But it's the locker room, and I just view it different.
I get what you're saying.
There's different laws.
Yeah. No, I totally get that.
Operate in the locker room.
No, there really isn't, Tony.
Well, I'm a hypocrite.
Look, is it certain things that you say in the locker room? Yes, you can get away with that.
Right.
I get that. There are certain things you can say in a group of guys at the end of the hallway.
But when someone feels threatened.
Then you got a problem.
We're talking about a 6'5", 300-pound man
that,
who felt
but
threatened.
But is he threatened? I mean, but obviously there's more issues going on. Because I'm just telling you, all the years that I've been in a locker room, I've never – guys just – you stood up – like there was a fist fight. Like Mike Dick has said it, and I'm sure he's catching heck about it. He said, well, if that would happen to me, I would have knocked the guy out.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying – and listen, and this is why I feel like a hypocrite, because I would never tell my kids to do this.
Is that, what it, I would is that tell, the answer?
I'm not saying it is, Pete. But in the locker room, that's what always happens.
Okay.
And guess what? You left the locker room and you went and lived a normal society.
But here's the other thing about that now.
I mean, I'm just telling you, that's what it is.
But it's not, that's the way it used to be back in the day, too. Tony, when you were in school, you had a fight. Now you have a fight, you hit somebody in the head, they die, you go to jail, and it's over with. You get sued, you got problems, you got liability, you hurt this, you hurt that. It's not the same anymore. It's all changed. It's not the same from when you played.
I'll just say this. At USC, I remember there used to be this thing where like you would match up with a guy and they called it checking, but you would go at two guys if they're mad, or they'd go at it in the locker room. Everyone circle around and they're trying to choke each other and throw them in the locker room, and you just settled it and it was handled. You would never do that on the campus, like let's just go. I mean, but it's a bunch of overgrown teenagers, kids playing a kids game that are adults that have a lot of testosterone, and I'm not saying it's this is why I feel like a hypocrite.
Look, everybody who's listening,
you're talking about the boys will be boys. You're giving out the boys will be boys scenario. That's what you're giving out, Tony.
Well, everybody who's listening can understand exactly what you're saying, because most of them at some point in time were in a locker room, whether it's at their golf club or whether it was in a high school ball. But the thing about this one that makes it different.
I agree. That's why I say I don't like when the weak get preyed on. I tell my kids all the time. My oldest is in high school, and I tell him, I said, listen, if you ever see a kid being made fun of or being ganged up on him, it is your responsibility to go to his aid and you protect him. That's your job.
Right.
Now, but I'll say this. But if he was getting after with one of his buddies who's kind of, they're both confident guys, go at it. I mean,
right.
Let's settle
it. Different,
so
different
here's the question.
That's what I'm saying.
By the way, for taking out aggression, forget about fighting in the locker room. Put an axe in there and fix it. You take all your aggression out.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. But that's because Jack's a head coach again all of a sudden, right?
But am I wrong about this?
No.
Because here's the thing. It was funny. This is, and these are totally different things, but I talk to my boys different than I talk to my girls. I allow my boys to talk different to me when it's just us than if their mom's around. Because one of them said something like, and my wife always says, I say certain words on the football field that I don't think are curse words. My wife doesn't like them. So I don't say them around her. But on the football field, I said, you can't say but. Hey, let's, get after their butts. I mean, you say get after their.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say because my wife might be listening. She'll yell at me. And so I allow my boys to talk that way with me. And football, that's what you do. You're on the football field. You're in the locker room. There's, you're guys. But I tell them, I said, you're not allowed to talk in front of your mom like that or your sisters. Is that hypocritical or is that just the culture of the locker room?
The culture of the locker room, I agree with.
Or is it changing?
Well, that's the other side of it. And that is, there was a time when there were no female members at Augusta. I mean, the old traditions are changing.
There was a time when you didn't get water on the practice field. Remember?
That's different.
Sure.
That's health reasons.
But I think the issue is that those traditions that you've had all those years are now all of a sudden under attack because they're coming after this. I don't know how they're going to do it, But you both told me.
It's going to be
in the last hour that Tom Coughlin and Joe Philbin, who was Coughlin-esque in a lot of his methodologies, couldn't effectively police their locker room. So someone's going to try. I mean, the league is going to have an anti-bullying initiative now. It's coming.
This is where I get caught in this quandary I have.
You got one foot in, one foot out.
Because here's the thing. When Mike Ditka said how he would have handled it, I knocked the guy out. I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure I'm proud of this. But part of me is like, yeah, it's what you do in the locker room.
I can't say I wouldn't have done the same
thing.
And
I'm not saying that's right. But guess what? For so long, the locker room policed itself. You took care of the locker room.
They didn't in Miami.
And that's what bothers me.
Yep.
They're messing the whole thing up.
Well, now the curtain's going to be pulled back.
You're going to hear stories about it.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It's going to get bad. They're going to police. Hey, look. It never used to be good for females to go into the locker room. Remember that whole debacle?
I still have a problem with
Zeke Mowat.
I still have a problem with a bunch of naked men walking around with female reporters. It just bothers me.
It would bother me too, but it's
part not. Of, I mean, listen,
it's not good for men to be in there with naked men.
I can't be comfortable, but but I mean, my point is, I think women should be allowed the same privileges as a male reporter.
And that's
covering
what
the
NFL
game.
Said.
I agree with that, but I have a problem walking around,
right?
Going to the shower,
right?
With
and you should
all things but, hanging and swinging but, and going in the right. in the. Female,
have you ever felt threatened in an NFL locker room?
No, but I've been in there and think,
have
why
you been
am I
uncomfortable?
Yeah, because everyone's naked.
No,
uncomfortable because
no.
I honestly say that I have.
Well, you
been.
Got threatened.
A couple
I was
times.
There.
A couple times.
No, no one ever.
We
threatened.
also kicked you out of our space. We wouldn't allow you
that's
in.
That's fun though. See, that's fun.
Brian, one time we put the white tape
there.
Around and
I
said
remember.
This is the Prisco free zone.
I remember
you're
that.
Not allowed in here.
But
and it
that's
was fun.
Fun. That and, kind of stuff is
and
fun.
And he dealt with
or
it
you,
well.
You ribbed.
Oh, he was great.
I take
you
it back. The one time that I did feel uncomfortable in the Jaguars locker room was in November of 1996 when we walked in when they had cut Andre and all the guys were sitting at his feet. And they were just daring you to come over.
Oh, yeah. It was a tense situation.
That was tense.
And you guess and what?
That was it.
Pete walked in loving it. This is awesome.
But I stood there. I remember standing there, and they were looking at me going, what are you looking at? What do you remember?
Oh, yeah. No, they were
and
starting
I said,
it.
You guys. And then finally they needed somebody to come over to tell their story to. And they go, Pete, come on over here. We got to tell your story.
But here's the thing, Pete.
But that was a bad group of guys.
Let me ask you this, though. In the locker room, the time that you were threatened, if it would ever come to where there was a physical confrontation, don't you think the guys who respected you would have had your back in there?
Yes. Yes. And plus...
The locker room would have policed itself.
My whole thing
That's
is...
That's my whole point.
Gary Walker used to come up to me and threaten to kick
he
my
was
butt.
Just, he was
and
full
I'd,
of it.
I'd flat out tell him, Gary, do it
he
right
wasn't
here.
Wasn't going to do anything.
Exactly. Do it right here.
He liked every
tackle you've ever had.
He liked his money too much. He was never going to touch
you. But you know what, though? I could actually tell you this story. I was driving on Beach Boulevard one day, and this car pulls up next to me, and I look in, and I'm like, what's that going on? Rolled the window down, told me the signal, and he looked at me and he gave me this. Gary Walker put his hand out of the car.
Yeah.
He was a nut.
Yeah,
he was.
And his
harmless.
Hand was his hand was
he
as
was,
big as your head.
Gary was harmless. Harmless.
But he was fun. He threatened though. He was a threatened guy. He would threaten me on a regular basis. He would threaten me.
And he'd also tell you to come back on Thursday
because
he
wanted more.
And he wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
355
We had
NFL
some characters one. Back then.
Yeah, yeah, some great guys in the locker room. By the way, he was two stalls down from Kyle Brady, so you want fun.
Kyle had fun. I can describe that. I tell that story, those stories about covering that team to people in our business. They have no idea. It was me. There was no other newspaper. I mean, John was with me, but it was me. There was no other newspaper.
Oh, I used to remember you coming in there. We were waiting for you.
Oh, yeah.
It was
fun.
Waiting.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. When we come back, we'll tackle the John Fox situation. And also, Gary Kubiak goes down in Houston. You're listening to Jaguars Monday, live from the HennityAutos.com studio inside EverBank Field on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, rolling right along. Time for our Copy Facts face-off. But in order to get there, we've got to cover one of the big stories, and that is two coaches, not just one. John Fox on his bye week. Is it safe to say faints, but feels dizzy, lightheaded. On the golf course in Charlotte over the weekend. Goes to the doctor, goes to the hospital. He's having a valve replaced in his heart.
He already had it.
Did he have that done already? Okay. So, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, basically through the end of the season before he'll be back and able to go. And then yesterday, Gary Kubiak at halftime faints as he walks off the field, lightheaded, goes to the hospital. I haven't heard much on his condition other than
I think it might be blood clots.
They're saying he's doing better.
You heard.
I thought I was listening to the radio and they said a possible stroke. Trying to rule out a stroke.
Yeah, blood clots.
I don't know. I don't want to.
He took some blood thinning medication.
You talk about scary though. He went down.
Oh, yeah. He was down. I thought he had a heart attack.
So today, of course, as you can imagine, Gus Bradley was asked about, you know, your health, your plan, where do you see it? And he was quick with a retort.
My wife has tried. I think it's always a challenge for coaches because of the balances. And I talked to the team about some of those things for me, too. You know, that I think when you have so much passion for something and ownership into it, there's always something. I think that's where you take a day at a bye week and you do something. Or Friday afternoon's late, you say, I'm going to go home and spend time with my family. Because I think in the long run, it makes you a better coach.
All right, obviously, it's a high-stress environment. They're human beings just like everyone else. Some of them have problems. I mean, John Fox knew he had to have this dealt with. I'm not sure that Gary Kubiak had any idea. I mean, from what I've been told and the things I've read, he's a guy who's in terrific shape. So some know, some don't, some are, some aren't. So if coaches aren't going to police themselves, should owners ask them to, I don't know, back it off a little bit? These guys work insane schedules.
Are you asking, should the league step in and put a time clock on how many hours a day a coach can work?
You know,
is that the question? Because I know one idiot here thinks that's the case.
Okay. I don't know if that was the way I would ask it, but in other words, yeah. Should coaches work these maniacal schedules where they sleep at the stadium for 3 days straight?
No. No, they shouldn't.
Do they have to in order to be great?
It's, you know what that is?
Hold on. It's not the question.
Yeah, it is the question.
No, the question is should they be stopped from doing
it?
No, you're wrong.
Yes. But here's why.
Are you a communist?
No, here's why. It's gotten to the point in the NFL where one guy does it, so the other guy does it, so the other guy does it, so the other guy does it. You get to a point of no return, okay? You get to a point at 10:30 or 11 o'clock.
But that's not the argument.
That is the argument.
No, it's
that
not.
That is the argument. People stay because of peer pressure from what everybody else is doing. If the NFL came in and said 7 o'clock at the facility, out by 8, then everybody would go home.
That's stupid.
Why is that stupid?
Why? Because guess what?
Why can't you get the work done in 13 hours?
I'm not saying you can't, but guess
what? So then why stay
here? If you want to work longer,
Don't we live in America?
We moved to like France where they tell you only can work 30 hours a week or communism.
That's a whole other argument we could be having.
Have we left?
How many hours do you need to work for?
As many as I want.
Right. Go home and do it.
No. This is my job. And I want to work here to 24 hours a day. Then so be it. I'm going to do it. That's my responsibility.
Even if you die on Wednesday.
Well, if I die, then I die doing it my way.
Hey, I should point out here, the players can't, right?
Which I think is idiotic, but the players negotiated that. They made that. I disagree with that. If I want to work as a player and I want to go meet with my coach because I want to get better because that's my job, then I should be allowed to. What's next? Are we going to tell all the CEOs in this world, you can only work 45 hours? Guess what? Nothing would get done. What made this country great is the fact that people worked hard, they put extra hours in, they work overtime, they burn the midnight oil, they work two or three jobs to provide for their families. Are we going to tell them, you can't do that?
No. What are you going to tell them?
Hey, Gus, you have to go home. You can't study film and get better.
No, he can study film. He can do it at home. It's easy to do now.
That's dumb.
Take an iPad home and watch all you want. You know what they do?
That's dumb, Pete.
On Friday afternoons.
I thought you were smarter than
that. On Friday afternoons, when Tom Coughlin used to have his coaches in here in the offseason, they were all playing solitaire because it was good to look like you were working around. Why couldn't you go home?
Well, they should have.
Why didn't they?
Well, that's it.
The peer pressure in the NFL, one coach does it, they all have to do it as the same.
That's a great argument. So we're going to start legislating things and putting laws in place based on
peer
pressure.
How many hours does a coach need to work?
That's a good idea. Based on peer pressure.
It's not a law. It's just a rule. How many hours?
Sounds like Congress.
That's the definition of a law.
How many hours? No, rules and laws are different, Tony.
No, you're the head coach, and the rule is you got to go home. That's a law. You can't be here anymore.
Tony. How many hours?
That's wrong.
How many hours does it take an actual coach? I'm asking you this. Realistically, how many hours does a coach need to work during the week?
In fairness, I'm not going to say because I've never been an NFL coach.
You've been around it your entire life.
Listen, I got good friends that I know that work very long hours because that's what they tell me it takes to get it done.
I know.
And trust me, they have families, and they're not sitting there just jacking around.
I know an assistant coach, and I'm not going to name him, in this league, who one day probably will be a head coach, who said when he becomes a head coach, he's going to change the way it's done.
And they all change.
Well, they're stupid. Tony Dungy didn't change. Tony Dungy,
that's fine.
Tony Dungy told me a story once.
It was his choice, though, Pete.
Right. So?
So why can't it be all...
Because the peer pressure. How many of the coaches underneath the head coach want to work those hours?
Pete.
It's ridiculous.
You can't legislate laws and rules based on peer pressure.
Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can.
That's stupid.
Hey, by the way...
You're the problem with it. You're the problem. You should move to... Is there any communist countries left in this? Where's the communist?
North Korea.
You'd work well there. You're only allowed to work
there. You pay me enough, I'll write anything in North Korea.
That's the thing.
I'll be their best football writer ever if they pay me enough.
What that leads to, you don't get paid as much. Because everyone works it. Guess what? Everyone works the same amount of hours.
If you're an elite, you get paid.
No, everyone works the same. You're not rewarded for hard work.
Somebody's getting paid. The elite of the elite are getting paid.
You're not rewarded for putting extra time in. You're not rewarded for doing a little thing. You're not rewarded for putting extra time and trying to get better at your craft.
You know John Fox and you know Gary Kubiak.
I don't know Gary. I know John.
If you could pick two of the guys in the league that are as low-key at coaches as there are and probably...
What? You know what you're like? What? You're like these concussion people that...
No, I'm not.
..jump to conclusions saying that the concussions are leading to every issue. What if John Fox was an accountant... But he had a heart valve. What if it's hereditary? What if he just has a heart valve that doesn't work for him? Or what if Gary Kubiak,
does stress add anything to health issues?
Sure, but guess what? There's people who have heart valves in the same condition he has that are working 40 hours a week. And guess what? There's people that are not working at all in this lovely country we have.
Oh, here we go.
That have blood clots.
Have you?
Don't they?
When was the last time you keeled over?
When the ACA takes care of them.
When was the last time you keeled over from exhaustion? And you work hard.
I almost passed out working out yesterday. But
from 10 cookies.
That's from a sugar high.
So are they going to start legislating? Well, actually, we are.
They're legislating everything.
They're telling you can't drink big sodas anymore. But I hope they don't tell me how many cookies I can eat. Listen, eating 10 cookies on the airplane, not really good for me. Look, but guess what? I enjoy
Tony,
it.
Tony, I have no problem with the coach working.
Yeah, you do. You want to tell him how long he can work.
No, he can work all as long as he wants. Just go home.
That's stupid, Pete.
Why?
This is the dumbest argument you've ever
made.
Why
do you have to be at the facility from midnight until 6 a.m.? Maybe
you
home.
Want to.
What? Really?
Yeah.
They want to.
I think some guys do.
You think? Okay, so then what does that say about their life then?
That's their own personal problem. I'm not
okay,
here
so
to
every
judge
coach
them.
In the NFL does that. So what's that say? So is it good to be nowhere near your family ever?
Pete, that's not. I mean, I don't know what their value systems are. Everyone's different. It's not one I'm choosing, but guess what? I work long days and have multiple responsibilities. I could be at home right now with my kids who are eating dinner. I don't eat dinner with them on Mondays and Thursday nights. I work.
Yes, you do. You have that one after you have that one.
No, I don't. I get up early. I got up at 4:30 this morning to go because I had responsibilities. I'll be here till 8 o'clock. That's a long day. I wasn't with my family. So are they going to legislate? No, you have to be home. Well, I choose to do this because I love it. I choose to do it because I get paid to do it. It's a job, and I enjoy it. And so if I want to go work another 8 hours doing another radio show or working the night shift because that's what my family needs, then I should be allowed to.
Okay, and if you don't want – okay, if you're here and you're an assistant coach and the head coach is mandating that
then
you –
then go get another job.
See, that's not true.
Go get another job. That's go do something else.
Why? What if your work's done?
Well, then guess what? Go tell the coach. Guess what? You're an assistant. You're not the head coach.
But what if your work's done?
If you want to do that, you become the head coach.
What if your work's done? Can't you go home?
Not if the head coach wants you there. He's the boss.
That's the problem.
No, he's the boss, Pete.
That's the problem.
My kids don't want to do the dishes, but I tell them to do the dishes.
You know what gets played Friday afternoon?
Because I'm the boss.
Friday afternoons in the NFL, there's a lot of solitaire being played on computers around the league.
Ah, folks, that's the Copy Facts face-off.
I clearly won.
You lost. So entertaining every week here on Jaguars Monday. We'll return after the news on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli live from the HannityAutos.com studio. We've got about 23 minutes left in our program this evening. Hey, a couple other issues here. Let's talk about Jack Del Rio back in Denver. Was that the only move that John Elway could make? How does it affect the Broncos, if at all? I mean, they were on a fast path to the playoffs, and I can't imagine that changing. But does the absence of John Fox cause them any hiccups?
Well, you never want to lose your head coach, but I think Jack and John are kind of tied at the hip. They're close. They're friendly. They work together in Charlotte and with Carolina. They know each other well. So Jack's not going to – look, Peyton's going to run the offense with Gase, and Jack will run the defense. And then
just like it was before.
Right.
The only difference is it's going to be a different guy throwing the red hanky.
Right. And, of course, John Elway went to Peyton and consulted with him and asked him which one he thought was going to be the best assistant coach to him, and he picked Jack. You know, there was some theory that they would pick the running backs coach, so not to take one of the coordinators away from their doing, but I always thought it was going to be Jack all along. The light-haired Jack Del Rio.
Yeah, his hair was noticeably lighter when we were in Denver.
It's different.
It's good. Broncos game.
Look, this is good for Jack. Jack's tenure here didn't end very well.
No.
And he wants.
Does it mean he's going to have a shot at the USC job?
I don't think so. Do you?
No, I don't think so.
They interviewed Lovie Smith, and then they said they didn't.
And Lovie said he didn't. Yeah.
That wouldn't make any sense.
There's going to be a lot of rumors around that job.
Hey, how about the Texans? I mean, we understood they had a quarterback situation. Keenum is in there now, you know, undrafted a year ago. Threw for 350, you know, had the three touchdowns to Andre Johnson. A, is Matt Schaub done? B, are the Texans, can they rebound, or are they done?
I think they're done, and I think Matt Schaub's done. Matt Schaub, to me, was one of those quarterbacks that if everything went right, he could roll out, bootleg, make the little throwbacks and all that stuff. But he's never going to win a game. Never going to win a game. He's not going to win a game. And his body language, and I don't read much into body language, but there are going to be times in a game when the quarterback stinks. It's just going to happen. It happens to all of them. And the good ones pull themselves out of it. Matt Schaub seemed to shrink up in those moments, to me. So I think he's done. I don't know if Case Keenum's the long-term answer, but I'll tell you this. You can look it up. I wrote a column about him at the Combine. I sat with him. He was sitting by himself off on his own. I sat down with him. I was like, you know, the Combine, they bring the star quarterbacks in and everybody swarms them. I always like to find a guy and go sit and talk to him and get to know him. I sat with the kid. And when I'm sitting there with him, he's cocky.
He brings some energy.
Swagger. He doesn't like to be called a system quarterback. I wrote this whole thing. I said, you know, this kid might have something here. And I liked him. The concern with him was the arm strength. But that's not a concern anymore. He can whip that ball around.
So, he did yesterday.
You know, somebody, I think it was Chris Collinsworth, said, reminded him of a little bit of Tony Romo. It's an interesting comparison.
He's not as big as Romo, though.
In terms of thickness.
Yeah.
He's tall. He's as tall as Romo. He's just not as thick as Romo.
All right.
He looked pretty good to me.
I liked him.
For the last 2 years, the Texans have looked like a contender, a major contender in the AFC. They haven't broken through yet. Now their quarterback goes. Andre Johnson's getting older. You wonder how much longer he can keep holding on. Are the Texans in a position that if they find their quarterback, they can quickly put this thing back on the track?
The question is Gary, you know, not to, you know.
Pile on,
but would he come back? Is he coming back?
Yes.
He is? Would he have come back? Okay, let's say, what are they now, 2-6?
Yes.
If they go 4-12, is Gary Kubiak coming back as the head coach?
Yeah.
He is.
I think he had another year. I don't think they're going to fire him this year. I don't think Bob McNair is that type of owner.
Gary Kubiak, to me, might be the nicest guy in the National Football League. And I'm not saying – and I don't just throw that out there because he is nice. And sometimes I think you can be too nice. Now, we used to hear that about Dungy, and he won a Super Bowl. So remember when he interviewed here, the one thing they said about him was he was too nice.
Well, neither one of us were here. So.
You guys weren't here. He interviewed with Dwayne Weaver for the job before Tom got it, and the – word got around the league, Wayne Weaver said he thought he was too nice, and Tony used to chuckle at that. So yeah, you can there's two ways to skin a cat, you know, you can, or many ways to, so you can be nice. But I Gary Kubiak, don't you, when you watch the Texans, don't you get the idea sometimes they're not, other than JJ Watt, maybe, that they're not
Brian and Cushing, Antonio Smith,
yeah, but I don't know, offensive line, do you see a mean nasty, Brown's a good player, but do you see nastiness, you know what I mean? They just don't seem like a nasty team to me. Whereas if you play the Titans, who they do seem like a nasty team.
Well, I do think you take the personality of your coach.
And Munchak, I don't know if Mike's Mike was a nasty player.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a nasty guy.
I don't know him well enough.
Jeff Fisher was kind of a nasty guy.
Jeff has a chip on his shoulder. I mean, he plays with a little, he has that swagger about him.
See, there's different ways. Like, you look at the Colts. The Colts have taken on the personality of Andrew Luck. They're not a nasty team, right? They want to be. They're not.
I think Chuck would like them to be because that's his mentality.
See, and that's the problem with I have with them for the long run. You know, we talk about the division because, you know, where Jacksonville has to go to get to.
Right.
Indianapolis is the benchmark now. And
you said they're going to take a step back this year.
I thought they would.
You're wrong.
I know. I was wrong. I can admit when I'm wrong.
I said they'd make the playoffs.
But are they going to go deep into the playoffs?
AFC is not that strong.
It really isn't. And they have the quarterback.
And they have confidence, too. They've already beat Denver once.
Yeah, watching him play.
Beat Seattle, beat San Francisco. They're pretty
watching
good.
Watching him play, we talk about how Blaine has problems feeling in the pocket. Andrew Luck is so good at climbing the pocket and moving in the pocket.
But you know what he's even better at? Nothing bothers him. He was awful in the first half. I mean, they were awful. Under 50%, I mean, just bad football. He came out in the second half, you'd have thought everything was fine.
Turned out.
I think there's a problem with the meshing of the philosophies there. You want to be this Stanford, that's who Pep Hamilton came from with Harbaugh, and Pagano came from the Ravens. They want to be this run, power team and physically
beat
you up.
They can't. They traded for Trent Richardson.
And they have Andrew Luck. Why would you want to be that?
Plus, they don't have the offensive line to be that.
Right. But why would you want to be that? You have Andrew Luck. Well, play the way they played in the second half last night.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but Andrew Luck was at Stanford. They were pretty good with Andrew Luck playing that type of football.
True. But they also had offensive linemen.
No, I agree with you. I think if you had the right offensive line, you could play that way.
I saw your tweet about Miami's offensive line the other day. Adam, let them eat. Let them eat. You were getting so happy. Yeah,
I
what
slapped
happened?
Them. That didn't work out very well.
355-NFL-1-800.
Miami Hurricanes, by the way.
Yeah. 355.
Let them eat. Let them eat.
6-3.
They're getting after it early. Went sideways quickly.
They ate. They Let's got grab full a call. Went home.
Sam joins us. Hello, Sam.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, Sam. What's up?
Hey, I'm just curious when hard work was shamed upon.
That's Pete.
I heard you talking earlier about the coaches working too much. Usually you're proud of what you do.
I agree.
I'm not saying
Pete wants to go home. He's even working this late.
No, you shouldn't be forced to. I work more than any human being in America.
Well, I think we should legislate that and stop it.
I go home and work.
We should make rules.
But
you're not allowed to turn your computer off.
When I go home,
I don't want you tweeting anymore at night. Spend time with your wife.
When I go home and watch,
you're a terrible husband.
When I go home and put the game on, I'm working.
That's a pretty loose term.
Crisco. I give it to you.
When I'm watching football all day Saturday in the hotel room, I'm working.
It's pretty loose there.
No.
And you are always working.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm just saying you shouldn't be forced to work. If you want to work, that's fine, but you shouldn't be forced to work.
If your boss tells you to work, what is wrong with you, Pete?
If work's done, why should you stay in the building, Tony?
Because your boss tells you to. Go get another job. I mean, the way you live.
Twiddly
your philosophy, I think all workers should just leave when they want to.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what you are saying.
No, that's not exactly what
I'm
saying.
Hey, guess what? Hey, listen. You can just go home whenever you want. You're tired for the day. Go take a nap. Go take a break.
Or.
Oh, don't work. Oh.
Or you're working
we'll
70.
Take care of you.
Or you're working 70 hours a week.
You can get a full paycheck.
Or you're working 70 hours a week
whenever you want.
And you get health insurance with it too.
Or you're working 70 hours a week.
We could. It would be fun.
Oh, so you're telling me that NFL coaches only get paid for 40?
If you're quality control coach, you might.
Listen, then go do something else.
Right.
So let me ask you a question. When you are an underpaid, underappreciated writer, getting paid nothing, and you were working your tail off.
Right.
Why were you working your tail off?
Because I loved it.
You loved it.
Right.
And you wanted, you had aspirations to be, move
and then
up, right?
And then when I
Let
left,
me ask you a question. You had aspirations.
Of course.
So if you're a quality control coach,
right.
You understand you're going to get paid peanuts
right.
to work your tail off it with the hope of moving up and becoming a head coach.
But when I was working as a writer, an underpaid writer, doesn't mean they can work me 70 hours without paying me.
You Pete, if you would have gone back and got and tracked your per hour pay,
I know
you were making about $1.50
an
hour.
When I left, I went to the human resources and told them they had to pay me for my hours. They changed the system when I left. Did you know that?
Me and you're part of the problem.
We're leader. We're like what, Cesar Chavez?
Communist, communist. He just said it. He's a communist.
We changed the rules.
All right, let's take a break. Thanks, Sam. We appreciate it. We'll come back. We got a lot more to talk about and not a lot of time to do it. You're listening to Jaguars Monday from the HannityAutos.com studio here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, rolling along here towards the conclusion of our program, which ends at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. The HannityAutos.com studios busy this evening with Jaguars Monday. We've talked about an awful lot of issues. Here's one real quick, and then I want to talk about quarterbacks. Pittsburgh gives up 55 points.
They're not very good.
No, Tony was right about that one. I'll give him that one. When you're right once in a while, which you are once in a while, I'll give you the credit.
Well, you know,
I was also right that we shouldn't turn the league into communist North Korea.
Oh, God.
All right, so here's the one I've...
You know what? They paid you enough. You go work in North Korea, too.
What's the matter with Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco?
Don't do that, though, there, Pete.
What's the matter with Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco?
Well, I mean, Flacco's offensive line is horrendous with a capital H. Although Eugene Monroe's had three good games in a row.
Yeah.
He's played well for them.
But I think everyone here always said that Eugene had all the ability to play at a very high level.
Well, and he's getting to the point where he needs to get paid.
The left tackle.
So,
I mean, the left guard got hurt. He's out. Now had back surgery. The center is horrible. And Yonda's solid, and the right tackle's just average. And they can't block. They cannot run block.
They can't run block.
And they can't pass block either.
It's a bad combination.
Five sacks yesterday.
If you can't run block or pass block, you're not very good.
So that's their problem.
I know that's
in Atlanta, he's trying. Matt Ryan, up until the last 2 weeks, he'd been playing really good football.
Right.
He's trying to do too much now.
Terrible.
They're hurt. I mean, talk about a team that's hurt.
Roddy White's not playing.
Julio Jones, no Sean Witherspoon, no Croy Bierman.
Well, the thing is that
they're bad.
Ryan made that throw to Gonzalez for their first touchdown of the ballgame. You thought, all right, that looks like Matt Ryan. And then the rest of the game,
he's trying to do too much. You know, they're in a situation where, and of course, Smitty would never buy into this, but now that they're done, because they're done now, they're playing a lot of young kids. So next year you go forward for 2014. They're playing Trufant in the secondary. They're playing Alford in the secondary. They're playing the young receivers now. I mean, all that, the young pass rushers.
Well, they're going to get a high draft pick for a team that 2 years ago was 14-2.
Right.
I mean,
and they still have when everybody comes back.
Yeah,
they have talent on that team.
Right.
So you don't think they have talent?
Not defensively. Tim, where's the pass?
No, that's
rusher?
Where they build it up.
Well, that's the problem. They need to draft a pass rusher.
I agree.
They're going to draft a pass rusher.
The linebackers great, Pete?
Well, I think the two young kids that they drafted, they're both playing, Bartu and Warlew.
Is Witherspoon playing again?
He's hurt.
Is he gone for the whole year? I thought he was in the sixth.
He's in that. He's going to be coming back, I think,
next designated
week.
Return.
No, and they're not very good on the offensive line either.
No, that's a big problem.
I agree.
They've ignored the offensive line. Peter Kahns, who plays center, they thought he played guard last year. He hadn't been good at center. They drafted the Holmes kid. He's not lived up to the hype.
Baker's out.
Baker's not playing. He played good last year. They let Claybaugh. Claybaugh wasn't any good anyway. He's been horrible for Miami. They don't have a right tackle. They're just okay on the offensive line. Ryan helps make them better, though.
Let's talk quarterback then, since we're on that topic. So Case Keenum throws 350 and three. Nick Foles, right, throws 7 touchdowns. And I know each of them have one game, one big game under their belt. But for a franchise like this that's going to draft at the top of the draft next year, either first or second, it looks like right now, do you have to have a quarterback at the top of the draft next year when you see guys like this come out and play? I mean, 7 touchdown passes is not an easy feat. There are a lot of quarterbacks who play and don't even come close to that one. So my question is, for this team, do they have to be thinking quarterback at the top of the draft next year?
Well,
because it looks like there'll be two there, Teddy Bridgewater and Marcus Mariota.
The last time Nick Foles played.
At the top of the draft.
The last time
Huntley's pretty good.
Yeah, Huntley from UCLA is pretty good, too. The last time Nick Foles played before yesterday, he was horrendous. I mean, he has had some good games.
Right.
And what you're asking is, can you get a guy in the second or third round and win with him?
Right. And let me give you the list. Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, Drew Brees, Tony Romo, Andy Dalton, Geno Smith, who's a rookie but playing all right.
Tom Brady. Obviously
Tom Brady's the sixth. Right.
That's a major aberration.
And I realize that's Kurt 9 Warner. Players. That's 9 out of 32. So it's not the whole list. But the question mark is do you have to take a quarterback at the top of the draft.
You have to take the right quarterback.
Right.
I don't care where it is. Listen, you can miss on the first overall pick, and you can miss in the third round.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. First overall pick, Tony Boselli has the card. Fill in the name right now.
Right now?
Right now.
I'd probably take Mariota.
And by the way, if you haven't seen Marcus Mariota play,
Thursday
night, Oregon plays Stanford. Should be a great matchup.
But I'll be honest with you, that's a really ignorant comment by me because I haven't watched enough tape.
I've watched those games. I haven't watched them on tape. But right now, I'd agree with you.
That's who I take right now.
Yeah, better than Bridgewater.
Yeah, something bothers me about Teddy Bridgewater, and I can't figure out what it is. Maybe it's because he's so frail. He's only 190 pounds, 195 pounds.
Took a beating against Florida in the Sugar Bowl last year and kept getting up.
And he looked great in that game, but I don't know. There's something about him.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
and it's early in the process.
Yeah, you're so early. I mean,
we're October,
I mean, look
or
back,
November.
A year ago, everyone said Geno Smith was a no-brainer first overall pick. He went second round.
Yeah, 39.
Well, after the way the right tackles played, they might want to revisit that, the number one pick for the Chiefs. He's been bad. Fisher?
I agree. I mean, we've
but
been saying that all year.
The basic gist of your question is, do you pass on the quarterback and take Clowney with the first pick?
Well, look,
or one of the pass rushers?
There's a bunch of quarterbacks that stretch through, you know, pick 33, 34, 35.
What you have to ask yourself, are you better off with Clowney and Manziel than Mariota and another pass rusher? That's the question you're asking.
Well, let's be honest. This team probably isn't in 2014 going to jump from wherever they finish this year to the playoffs.
If they get Andrew Luck, they do.
Is Andrew Luck in this draft?
I don't know.
That's the decision you have to ask.
Is he there?
I'm
not hearing he is.
If you think Mariota is that good and he's only 20 years old and he's a great kid and he's a good student of the game and he's a good
unbelievable athlete
and a good student, period, and a good kid, if you believe he's that guy, the franchise guy, then you draft him. If you don't, then maybe you don't force the quarterback.
No, you don't. I agree with Pete there.
Well, there's so many quarterbacks, and you know where the other side of this coin is that in 2015, the Winston kid from Florida State may be up.
Yeah, but it's so dangerous to start looking years ahead.
Right. I agree. I'm just giving you a topic.
So many things can happen.
You're going to take a quarterback next year. I'm just not sure if you take a quarterback at the very top of the draft.
The only way you take it at the top of the draft is he's the guy. You're convinced he's the
best player. And we won't know that, We won't know that until after he's here playing.
What this team has is as far as needs. If the best player in the entire draft is the Clowney kid, I'm not saying he is or isn't, but if that's the best player, then take him.
Nah.
If he's the best player
and the quarterback's right below, right there with him, you take the quarterback. If he's significantly better than the quarterback,
if they're close, you always take a quarterback. Right. But if it's significantly better, he's the guy, you take him.
Right. I just think Mariota would give this. Think about Mariota. If Blackman comes back, you have all those receivers, you have Mariota, you have ability to create stuff. Even if the line isn't great, you can get out and create things. With the quarterback, you know, and I'm not a run quarterback guy. I don't mean run. I mean create with his legs in the pocket. Get outside. Move around. You know, what Kaepernick should be doing now as he's evolved as a passer is to move to throw. Andrew Luck has great legs. People laugh when you say
he runs like a 4.6, didn't he?
Yeah, but
he's fast.
And he knows how to move around.
Yeah, he's a good athlete.
It's not move to run, it's move to throw.
The only thing you worry about, I shouldn't say you worry about, that you hear about Mariota is accuracy.
Right.
And I haven't watched enough to make
a judgment. Although from what I've heard from some scouts that I know around the league, he has dramatically improved in that category this year.
Dramatically improved. A lot.
Take him.
He's young. He's athletic.
And you wonder if he's a system quarterback. Can he spin his head? And can he take snaps under center?
And all of this is to be determined way, way too early. But just an interesting question based on what Foles did yesterday for Philadelphia out in Oakland. That'll do it for another exciting Jaguars Monday. Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, thank you. Joe Fortunato, as always, where would we be without you? Have a great night, everybody.